In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. We welcome you once again to our Perseverance family on this Sunday in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord is truly risen. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. As always, we will start with inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is known as the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Let's invite Mary to be with us, to pray for us, to encourage us. Mary is also our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Also, let's invite to be with us our spiritual guide, our spiritual director. That, of course, is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is known as the Counselor. Holy Spirit is known also as the Consoler. The Holy Spirit is known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is known also as the Interior Master. As St. Paul reminds us, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say Abba. Abba, which means Father. And the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit in the mystery of the Blessed Trinity is the Father loves the Son loves the Father, the mutual love between Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. So let's beg as we start off this new week for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light, a lot of peace, a lot of joy, and set our hearts on fire with the love of God as we sing. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Now on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Ignatius Loyola, pray for us. Saint Michael, Saint Raphael, Saint Gabriel, and all the angels, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Vincent de Paul, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. So every Friday we call to mind the passion and suffering of Christ, that he underwent his passion, the excruciating suffering on the cross Good Friday for us. Saturday is a day in which we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary. Sunday we honor the Blessed Trinity, and we honor in a very special way the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Sunday should be a little mini Easter. How do we live this out? First and foremost, by our relationship with God. The first and greatest of all the commandments, Jesus said, is to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first of all the commandments. The second is to love our neighbors, ourself. Now, how is the concrete way in which this is lived out or manifested? Principally through prayer. And of all the prayers that we have in the world, the greatest prayer we have is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I remind you, the two most important gestures you can do is to receive absolution in confession and to receive Holy Communion in Mass. So on Sundays, in which we celebrate our Lord's resurrection, I'd like to briefly just remind you the opportunities that you have to draw closer to God by what we offer to you. Now, we offer to you many things. Irrespective or despite the pandemic, we're trying to give as much as we possibly can to all of you. Our virtual family, this is the Perseverance family, but also those who are in the vicinity of St. Peter Chanel, we're offering a lot of opportunities. Yesterday we had another series of confirmations, and I did a wedding. Heard good 3-4 hours of confessions yesterday. But on a daily basis, and that includes today, Sunday, we offer to you in the parking lot the Mass at 8 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 6 p.m. I said in my homily yesterday that Jesus preached the sermon on the plain, Jesus preached the sermon on the mountain, so I'm going to be preaching the sermon in the parking lot. And the beauty of nature, the sermon on the mount, the sermon on the plain, the sermon in the parking lot. Wherever we go, God is present. As the poet says, in him we live and move and have our being. So take advantage of that. If that's rendered impossible because of distance or imperious family obligations, then we offer to you Mass at 10 o'clock in English, then we have another virtual Mass at 4 o'clock. Just that you're aware of this, on my Facebook page and my website, we offer you a lot. First of all, on my website, which is www.fatherbroom.com, www.fatherbroom.com, you have blog articles. I write an article every week. You have podcasts. So if you like to listen to one of my talks in Spanish or English, you can go and you can download one of my talks on podcasts, and I've been doing this for about 10 years. I've got thousands, so I give about 5 or 6 talks every day the past 10 years. Then you have also videos. So right now this is live on Facebook. But after it's finished, it's posted on my website, fatherbroom.com, and you have the date and the topic. So there we have it. Then on Facebook, what we have on a daily basis is I kick off my preaching or teaching with you every morning at 7:30, which I give you an orientation, a spiritual orientation in general, what I'm doing now. Then I'll go through the readings of the day and the saint of the day. And we post you one number from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And we've already arrived at number 117, which explains the different senses in which we interpret the Bible, the spiritual sense, allegorical sense, the moral sense, the anagogical sense. In other words, when we're reading the Bible, there are different literary forms. For example, a parable is not a miracle. In a parable, a miracle is not the Sermon on the Mount. These are different literary forms. So we have to try to interpret the Word of God utilizing certain literary genre forms so that we can have a proper, complete understanding of the meaning of the Word of God and how to apply it to our lives. And I spend time on the saint of the day. And there's a real connection between the saint of the day as well as the readings from sacred scripture. Because the saints are those who are able to put into practice the Word of God. They're our models. So I give a talk at 7:30. And those who prefer Espanol, my Spanish is very good, you can listen to me at 9 o'clock. Then 10 o'clock we have, in our private chapel, we have a live streaming of Holy Mass. So if it's impossible for you to participate fully in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass because of impending imperious obligations that impede you from being present actually at the Mass, we've got the virtual Mass for you. Then Monday through Saturday, we have a relatively new program, which is a wonderful program. It's called the Ignatian Forum, which I, who founded this little program with Eric and Mary, we've got guests in which we talk about spiritual topics very often related to Ignatian spirituality. Because many of you have done the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius with me and continue to do your holy hour, and that's the purpose of this perseverance, is that once you've done the exercises, you want to persevere. So I give you this talk, and then you've got the Bible passages, and then you have the points in one of the articles that I've written to flesh out this for you. Then at 3 o'clock, which is the mercy hour, I pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And then afterward, we'll read a number from the diary of St. Faustina Kowalska, the Diary of Divine Mercy in My Soul. And I'll give a 2 to 3 minutes explanation of Divine Mercy. On the heels of that, at 4 o'clock, we have another Mass, which would be the virtual Mass in Spanish. Then jumping down to 7:30, I pray the rosary, the family rosary, because as Father Patrick Peyton says, the family that prays together stays together, and a world at prayer is a world at peace. Then we culminate our daily spiritual journey by the Oblate Holy Hour, in which we give a spiritual talk. Then we pray the rosary. We try to explain the rosary to you and how to apply this to your life. We pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. We pray spiritual communion. And then after that, there's some time for adoration And we end with benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. So that's our spiritual menu for you on a daily basis. Talk at 7:30, 9, 10 o'clock Mass, 2 o'clock Ignatian Forum, 3 o'clock Chapel of Divine Mercy, 4 o'clock Mass in Spanish, virtual. Then the Family Rosary at 7:30, and then the Oblate Holy Hour, the Oblate Family Holy Hour. Not to mention, you can go into my website and get past articles or talks or videos. I've got thousands, so you can go even go in and make your own spiritual exercise retreat going into the list in my archives. So we're trying to give you as much as we possibly can. Okay. I'm going to go through the first reading and try to connect this to the saint that we celebrate today. Today we celebrate St. Vincent de Paul, but let's take the first reading and see if we can apply some of these ideas to this great saint that we celebrate today. The Word of God starts out by saying, you say the Lord's way is not fair. And then we hear, here now, House of Israel, is it my way that is unfair, or rather are not your ways unfair? When someone virtuous turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, it is because of the iniquity he committed that he must die. But if he turns from his wickedness he has committed and does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life, since he is turned away from ill, the sins that he has committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. That's taken from Ezekiel chapter 18, 25 to 28. He goes out by saying, the Lord's ways are not fair. The Lord's ways are very, very mysterious. We cannot always fully understand God's ways because they're a mystery. But God's ways are always the best. His ways are always the best. Okay, Vincent de Paul, Saint Vincent de Paul, was born in France in 1580, and he died in 1660. He was brought up and raised by a poor family, and he was a shepherd. His father, aware of the intellectual gifts of Vincent, he allowed him to go to school, then the university. He went to Toulouse, University of Toulouse, and then Paris. Vincent de Paul, three things happened in his life that seemed to be very mysterious. As Ezekiel says, God's ways are not our ways. Our God is a God of mystery. Our God is a God of surprise. Mother Teresa says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. What Mother Teresa is saying is that man proposes, but God disposes. So we might be planning something, but God might have different plans. Not to say that we shouldn't plan our lives. I wrote a book, Roadmap to Heaven, which is basically how to set up a plan of life so that we can have order into, put order into our disorder. But Vincent de Paul, God intervened in very mysterious ways. And I really like to connect this to the Lord's way is not fair. St. Vincent de Paul, when he went through these trials, If he were not a man of faith, he would have said, Lord, this isn't fair. Why? Why me? Why me? Okay, this is where I'm heading now. Vincent de Paul had to travel by sea to obtain some money that someone owed him. So Vincent de Paul is at sea in a ship, and pirates abduct him. They kidnap him. And they're Muslims. So they take him as a prisoner to Northern Africa, Algeria. And there he is for 3 years, basically a slave to two different men. The second man was a chemist. Today we would call him a pharmacist. And this chemist, this pharmacist, really liked Vincent. He gave him freedom. And Vincent prayed day and night that to the Blessed Virgin Mary that he would be freed from these people that kidnapped him. And the chemist said, if you become a Muslim, I'll give you a lot of money. I'll make you rich. Politely but firmly, Vincent de Paul said, I'm not going to change my religion. And eventually, Vincent de Paul is able to come back to France. So that's the first trial. And I invite all of you to think about, what about the trials in your life? God sends a lot of trials. But God allows evil to bring greater good out of evil. So that's the first trial. Vincent de Paul was kidnapped, and he was basically a slave to the Muslims in Northern Africa for 3 long years. So he comes back, and he's lodging in a home with this certain man who had considerable money. A huge sum of money of the man with whom Vincent de Paul lived, the money disappeared. And the man blamed Vincent de Paul for having stolen that money, saying that Vincent de Paul was a thief. He was a thief. And the accusation went on and on. And Vincent de Paul didn't defend himself. He humbly, silently accepted this false accusation. Until finally the money appeared. And Vincent de Paul later in life made this comment to his friends. Sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances where only God can save us. And as God saved him from the pirates and the Muslims who took him as a slave in Northern Africa, God was able to free him. And second, God was able to free Vincent de Paul of a false accusation of being a thief. The third trial of Vincent de Paul. And what Mother Teresa was in the 1900s, Vincent de Paul was in the 1600s. There's a real parallel between Mother Teresa and Saint Vincent de Paul. You probably remember, if you know the life of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, that she went through a lot of suffering, like Vincent de Paul. One of her sufferings, though, was a spiritual suffering. What St. John of the Cross calls this the dark night of the soul. For close to 50 years, when Mother Teresa was about at the very beginning stages of the foundation of the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa was going through a spiritual stage in which she did not experience God's presence. This is called the dark night of the soul. God seemed to be distant, far away from her. Very little consolation. Vincent de Paul went through the same experience as Mother Teresa, where it seemed as if God was not listening to his prayers. Eventually, Vincent de Paul was freed from this spiritual trial. Let's apply this to our lives. All of you in our Perseverance family, I believe you're all trying to be faithful to your holy hour. I didn't say your happy hour, but your holy hour. You might have days, and I hope you do, where you have a lot of lights, a lot of consolation, a lot of peace, wind in your sails. The holy hour goes by like that. And you won't even extend it. Hopefully you have days like that. But it might be that there are times when you're going through a lot of dryness, aridity. You got to persevere, like Vincent de Paul. And all of you should have a spiritual director, a spiritual director with whom you can consult, you can articulate, express very clearly what's going on in your spiritual life, especially your prayer life. Very important that we have spiritual direction. Saint Ignatius insisted that our spiritual journey is not to be done alone, but we have to have some accompaniment, someone that's walking with us, like Jesus who walked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then Vincent de Paul is ordained a priest at 20 years of age. But first, Vincent de Paul, his desire was simply to become famous. That was his desire at first, vanity, to become famous. He became the chaplain of the Queen. He lived in the high aristocratic circles until something happened. One of the nobles told Vincent de Paul that he should try to help out the poor. So there was a poor peasant that was very sick. And Vincent de Paul drew close with the intention of giving this man the sacraments. So this is what Vincent de Paul discovered, that this poor man, uneducated in culture, but especially uneducated in the faith, he had been making bad confessions all of his life. He'd been making sacrilegious confessions all of his life. And Vincent de Paul, aware of this, recognized that it was not simply this man, but many of the poor, uneducated, farmers, laborers were doing the same. In other words, they would go to confession, but they would not confess their serious mortal sins. And you probably know if you make a bad confession, then you receive communion, you make bad communions. This really grieved Vincent de Paul. So, he was inspired by God to give himself to the poor. And he tried to help out the poor that were hungry, homeless, destitute, abandoned, forgotten, marginalized, by setting up certain centers to help the people that were very, very poor and suffering physically. But he's also worried about this, that many souls, the poor, were suffering spiritually. So there were some young men that were surrounded Vincent de Paul, and he started to form them to help him out, to help out the poor both materially and spiritually. So Vincent de Paul started to give popular missions, preaching and teaching, and helping out the poor materially. And this is the thought that occurred to Vincent. He recognized that the priests back then, this is in the 1600s, were not well educated. They were not well formed. So Vincent de Paul decided every Tuesdays he would give conferences to seminarians to form them to be good and holy priests. But also Vincent de Paul he set up a new congregation. And we call them the Vincentians, in honor of Saint Vincent. The purpose was to form good and holy priests. And he set up seminaries, because back then the seminary system was very, very basic. And such that his priests would eventually become Vincentian priests who work and teach in the seminaries. So helping out the poor, educating the poor, forming priests. Then with the help of a widow, very holy woman, Saint Louise Marillac, he founded what is considered the biggest religious order in the world, the Daughters of Charity. And he said that there, convent is the whole world, in which they renew their vows every year to help out the poorest of the poor. Vincent de Paul was famous for begging for money. Begging for money. Because the poor needed so many resources, and Vincent de Paul had contact with some of the greatest and most well-known people in Europe. He was a good friend of Francis de Sales. He knew the Queen, the King. And he would bend over backwards to help out the poor. And he was also for a time chosen to be the chaplain of the galley slaves. The galley slaves would be in the ships and they would be rowing on the lower level. It would be suffocating, there would be a terrible stench, and the people were so dehumanizing, and Vincent de Paul was called to do this, and they would be whipping the slaves. I invite you to see the movie Monseigneur Vincent, the black and white movie, really well done. I saw some clips yesterday. And you see them, one man who's whipping them to make them work harder and harder. And there's a man that's rowing and he faints. And Vincent de Paul goes into the galley area and he starts to row. And the aristocrats are looking at Vincent de Paul, who's doing the rowing. Then that time, women would not have abortions the way they have it today, but they would have children, baby children, and leave them at the doorstep of the church. And the little babies would die. So you've probably seen a statue of Vincent de Paul with a little baby. He tried to get help. And there's a real beautiful scene in the movie where there's this little baby on the table and surrounded by these rich women. And one woman says, "That child is a fruit of a bad woman. That is an illegitimate child. That child is a fruit of sin." And Vincent de Paul looks at the woman and says, "This is a child of God." Even though maybe the mother made a mistake, this is a child of God. This child is worthy of great respect. Then Vincent de Paul, if you see the movie, how does he end his life? You see him in a carriage. He's very sick, very weakly. On one occasion, Vincent de Paul, the end of his life, he was kind of like a hunchback because his health was really deteriorating. He was walking with his head crouched, and he bumped into a man, and the man punched him. And Vincent de Paul knelt down and said, "I'm really sorry for that." Shortly after that, Vincent de Paul was celebrating Mass, and the man who punched Vincent de Paul was in the Mass, and he was shocked that he had punched Vincent de Paul, who was by then one of the most famous men in the world. And he went up and he apologized. Vincent de Paul forgave him. That's okay. God is merciful. What a great man of God. In the last scene in the movie of St. Vincent de Paul, in this movie, Monsignor Vincent, one of the best movies of the saints ever made, Vincent de Paul is about to die. And all of France is aware of this. And the queen and the king and the nobles want to see him. And Vincent de Paul says, "I don't want to see them." By now, he was 80 years old. "I know what's important." And Vincent de Paul said, "Call the last postulant of the Sisters of Charity to talk with me." So Vincent de Paul calls her. He's a very humble, simple, peasant woman who's going to become one of the Sisters of Charity. And Vincent de Paul gives her his last advice. And he says this, "The poor people, they are our kings and queens. We are their servants. We are their servants." And he says to this woman, helping out the poor can be a very, very heavy cross. But they are our servants. And what we have to recognize is that Jesus is present in the poorest of the poor. I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, you came to visit me. When, Lord? Whenever we do it to the least of our brothers, then we do it to Christ. Vincent de Paul is a great saint. A great saint. And as I said in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord's way is not our way. The Lord's way is not fair. Didn't seem to be fair to Vincent that he was taken as a slave of the Muslims. But as a result of that, Vincent de Paul became very humble. Didn't seem to be fair that Vincent de Paul was accused of stealing this money from this man. The accusation lasted a long time. Didn't seem to be fair. God allows what seems to be unfair. God allows evil to bring greater good out of evil. Vincent de Paul went through a great darkness in his life. Might even call it the dark night of the soul. That doesn't seem to be fair. A man that was so good. Well, God allowed him to go through the dark night of the soul, so that Vincent de Paul would be able to see the light of day in working with the poorest of the poor. Vincent de Paul was exposed to a poor peasant who basically was making bad confessions, placing in jeopardy his eternal salvation. And as a result of that, Vincent de Paul decided he would help the poorest of the poor, not only materially, but also spiritually. Pope Francis, in his encyclical, The Joy of the Gospel, made that comment, is that we can bend over backwards to help out the poorest of the poor, to feed them, to give them clothes, give them food and drink. But sometimes we neglect to give them what's most important, and that is give them God. Give them the Word of God. Offer them the sacraments. So we have another friend in our family, and his name is the great Saint Vincent de Paul. Let's pray not only for the poor, but Saint Vincent de Paul went on to say one of the greatest gifts a people can receive, a parish can receive, is a holy priest. Let's pray that God would send us more vocations of the priesthood. Let's beg God also to send us holy priests, because a holy priest can be instrumental in saving many, many, many souls. As Jesus says, the harvest is very rich, but the laborers are few. Let's go to the gospel. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been reading through some of the parables of Jesus. Remember that Jesus is the greatest of all teachers. And Jesus would teach through stories. A parable is a human story with a heavenly message. So it's something related to our common everyday experience, but there's a spiritual message. You know some of the parables, the Good Samaritan, the parable of the talents, the parable of the prodigal son, our merciful father. So Jesus is in the temple, and he's surrounded by the chief priests and the elders of the people. So Jesus gives them this parable. And I think this parable we can all identify with it because it shows the family dynamics. Family dynamics. And Jesus says, what is your opinion? A man had two sons. So So he goes to the first son and says, son, go out into the vineyard to work. And the son says to the father, I will not. But afterwards, he changed his mind and he went. Then the man came to the other son and gave him the same order. He said in reply, yes, I will. But he did not go. Which of these two sons did the will of the father? And they responded, it would be the first, who said he would not go, but eventually did go. And Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entered the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him. So, Jesus is directing this at the Pharisees and the scribes, the elders. They believe themselves to be righteous. They carry out the law with the minute prescriptions. But a true love of God through love of neighbor, they don't have it. So Jesus says something very stark and surprising. The prostitutes and the tax collectors have access to heaven before you. Why? Because they heard Jesus preaching and they changed. For example, last week, we celebrate the feast day of St. Matthew. St. Matthew was a tax collector. Jesus said, come follow me. He left everything to follow Christ. Mary Magdalene lived a promiscuous life. Mary Magdalene actually had seven devils within her. Seven devils within her. But she changed. So the parable today, I'd like to offer you three basic ideas for your reflection, your meditation, your prayer. And I'd like also for you to pray over this, to apply this to yourself. The first is this, that the first son said he would not go, but then he eventually did go. A thought that occurred to me when I was preaching yesterday is that this son, his conscience bothered him. His father said, go, and he said, no, I'm not going to go. He stopped probably to think, well, my father has given me life. He's done so much for me. He's giving me an opportunity to work and he's going to be paying me. I'm young and I'm able, so I probably should repent. I'll go into the vineyard and I'll start working. So that's the first thing I'd like to lay in your heart. And it's this, the conscience. The conscience, we all have a conscience. And the first moral principles that every human being has is, the first moral principle is to avoid evil and to do good. Everyone has that. But with respect to our conscience, 3 points. I'm a Catholic priest, and it's my obligation to pray for you and to preach, which I will do. I'll pray for you in my masses, but also right now, virtually, I'm preaching to you. I'll be going through the moral criteria in voting in the near future. I've already made allusion to this. Constantly in my conversations with you, moral topics surface related to the Ten Commandments. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church, I mentioned weeks back, it has 4 parts, the dogmatic, the moral, the sacramental, and the part on prayer. The moral part is the part on the Ten Commandments. So it's my obligation to, as a priest, to pray, but also to preach and teach. And by preaching and teaching, it's up to me to help to form your conscience. That is to explain the commandments and how to put them into practice. The second is, you as adults, you have to take seriously your permanent formation, your ongoing formation, and that means the ongoing formation of your conscience, so that you can know what is right and to carry it out, and know then to know what is wrong and to avoid it. And the third point is you have to form the conscience of your children. I told this story in my homily yesterday. I'll tell it again just to show you the formation of the conscience, the obligation of the parents, and what really can happen if the parents are really working hard to form the conscience of their children. When I was about 8 years old in New York, an older brother that's 1 year older, we were playing baseball, playing catch in the street. And the ball went awry and it hit a car that was parked on the street. And I just ignored it. But my brother stopped and said, "No, we got to check to see if we've done any damage." And I said, "What? You're crazy." So he dropped the gloves and he started to observe. And below one of the windows, there was a little bump that our ball, which went awry, that made that bump. So he said, "Well, okay, it's a big deal." He said, "No, we have to find the owner and apologize and offer reparation." I said, "You're crazy." So he went around the block. There was just a few houses. He knocked on the door to see if that car belonged to them, and it didn't. Oh, I had a sigh of relief. But to my chagrin, my tragedy was not over, because he went into a house and he got a sheet of paper. He wrote down his name and my name, where we lived, our phone number, where the damage was, and our willingness to do reparation. My brother was about 9 years old. 9 years old. Now, where did he get such a highly refined conscience? Didn't come out of nowhere. Obviously, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. But the agents behind the formation of this little boy, 9 years old, would be, of course, his parents, my parents. I still had to be converted. I still had more of a lax conscience. But I like to tell that story because how easy it is for parents to allow their children to do certain things. For example, telling white lies, or coming late, or cutting corners, or disobeying, or this or that. Parents just let it ride. Then these little bad habits, they start to become bad habits that are hard to overcome. They become ingrained. And to eradicate these bad habits, it's not easy. So it's incumbent upon parents to go through an ongoing formation of their own conscience and then to form the conscience of their children. The second lesson I'd like to take from the Gospel is the fact that these Pharisees, these chief priests, these elders, they thought that they knew it all. They felt that they were perfect. They were blind. Blind guides. You know, my friends, I think that we all have blind spots. There are three visions of ourselves: how we see ourselves, how others see us, and how God sees us. Through proper spiritual direction, we're able to see who we are in the light of God. So let's beg God to take off the blinders from our eyes, that we'd be able to see ourselves as Vincent de Paul was able to see himself, as the saints are able to see themselves with sincerity and truth. And the last point is that in the parable of these two sons, one of the sons said, "I will go into the vineyard to work, Dad." He never went. And Jesus says this, listen, not all those who say, "Lord, Lord," not all those who say, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of God, but those who do the will of my Heavenly Father. I repeat, Jesus says, not all those who say, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. But those who do, those who carry out, those who accomplish the will of my Heavenly Father. What I'm trying to say right now is the following. If we truly love God, and we want to arrive at heaven, then we must make a concerted effort to put into practice the virtue of obedience. We must obey. Jesus said it very clearly. I have come to do the will of my Heavenly Father, to obey His will. Not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Please turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is a perfect model of love by means of obedience, that we would imitate this wonderful virtue. Listen to the words of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She says, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy will." Mary obeying the will of God. So my friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice it. May God bless you with a lot of peace and joy on this Sunday. which we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.